I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 3rd of June. You may recall a program that we did about 3 weeks ago with Gordon Lafer of the Economic Policy Institute. He did a report on specifically the rocket ship model of education, part of the debate about school charter programs, school choice programs throughout the country, but his looked at Milwaukee. And Rocket Ship Education is a network. It started in California, and they are now successfully running schools in several places, and they are now operating one school on the south side of Milwaukee. They would like to open 8 schools in this city by the next few years. They currently operate Southside Community Prep, which is a special charter with the city of Milwaukee. They see the opportunity to be part of a systemic change in a community that they say desperately needs it. Rocket Ship has never promised miracles, they say, but they do promise a chance. Milwaukee has serious challenges and an urgent need to grow, develop, and attract more schools that are effective in educating low-income children. So we'll talk about Rocket Ship this hour of the program and the critical report that looked at Rocket Ship when we talked about this issue about a month ago on the show. We have two defenders of the program with us, Tim Sheehy, no stranger to Milwaukee, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. They serve as an advocate for member businesses, which employ more than 300,000 people in the greater Milwaukee area. He's also chair of Rocket Ship Schools and on the national board of Rocket Ship. He's joining us in our studios here in Milwaukee. Katie Venskis is also with us. Katie is vice president of policy at Rocket Ship Education, has an extensive background in education policy, and is based in the Milwaukee area. Katie, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
We can't hear you very well. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit better. Yeah.
Okay.
It's best if you're not be on a speakerphone, because then we can hear you even better. Let us start. Thank you both very much for being with us. You're familiar with Gordon's report, I'm sure, and he gave a pretty scathing report on Rocket Ship. Let me ask you, starting with you, Tim, what is the model that Rocket Ship offers that made you and other people in Milwaukee, the mayor, members of the Common Council, interested in establishing a school here?
Thanks for the opportunity.
Sure.
Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
I'm well, Tim. Thanks.
Good. I think it's important, before we dive into the report, just to set briefly some context for the work that Rocket Ship and a lot of other schools are attempting to do in Milwaukee. There are roughly 125,000 kids in Milwaukee. 26,000 of them participate in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program. About 8,000 are in independent charter schools. These are schools chartered by an entity other than MPS. And there are about 82,000 kids in the Milwaukee Public Schools. The remainder of the kids are in private pay, Chapter 220, or in open enrollment. And what Milwaukee desperately needs to do as a community, from parents to educators to business leaders, is increase the educational attainment of our kids, especially the urban poor. There are 50 schools in Milwaukee that we describe as 80-80 schools. These are schools that have 80% of their students getting free or reduced price lunch, and 80% of the students are minority. If you look at that group of schools, which is where Rocket Ship is intensely focused on low-income kids, 7% of the kids in those schools are proficient readers at grade level. The best school in that 80-80 group has 20% of its kids proficient in reading. So we have tremendous work to do. And the interest with Rocket Ship was to bring a model that was proving to deliver significant results in the San Jose area with low-income Hispanic kids to Milwaukee, to add its expertise to the mix of schools here and try to raise our educational performance. So long story short, we have 300 kids, and we're just about at the end of our first school year, mm-hmm. and on average, the kids in that school who have been with us for this school year will improve their reading and math attainment by 2 grade levels in the first year. So we have a lot of work to do, but I think we're off to a good start.
Mm-hmm. What is the educational model, Katie? How do kids spend their day at school?
So I think there's several things that set Rocketship apart from a more traditional model. I think the first thing we do each and every morning with our students, who we call Rocketeers, they start their day with an all-school assembly that we call Launch. That is a time to really get them energized, prepared for the day. We celebrate academic victories. We celebrate behavior victories. We really make sure that we engage and reward our students for positive behavior. Once they finish with Launch, they head to traditional classroom instruction, which they move through in what we call a rotational model. So every class starts their day off in a homeroom, and that homeroom will either be instruction in English language arts, humanities, or mathematics. The kids will spend approximately two-thirds of their day, slightly more, in what looks like very traditional classroom instruction. We have classrooms led by exceptional teachers who are subject matter experts. So our first grade English language arts teachers only teach English language arts, and then those first graders rotate to a first grade math teacher later in the day. So that rotational aspect of our classroom instruction looks a little different, but it really allows our teachers to focus in on the subject areas they're responsible for. And become specialists in teaching children in those areas. And then the last component of our instructional day is what we call the Learning Lab. And that's where we have the opportunity to really personalize instruction, which is core to what we believe in at Rocketship. We believe strongly that in order to move every kid to where they need to be by the time they leave a Rocketship school, you have to give that kid the right lesson for them at the right time. And we use the Learning Lab to do that. So part of the Learning Lab is the technology component or the blended learning component of our day, which is something that Rocketship has had a lot of attention for over the years. The kids engage with adaptive technology or adaptive software that really identifies their particular skill level in an area, whether it's English language arts or math, or, you know, some more specific skill. Identifies the kid's current skill level and really builds a lesson for that student that focuses on areas where they need further remediation or support. And for those kids who are starting to work ahead of grade level and ahead of the rest of their classmates, it allows them to really move at an accelerated pace. So it's very individualized to the student need. During that Learning Lab time, we also offer small group and project learning. And we offer one-on-one tutoring for children who need additional support. And then the final component of Learning Lab, out of the Learning Lab time, that's when our Rocketeers have art instruction, physical education, those sort of enrichment activities that are built into the school day happen in the Learning Lab time as well.
Mm-hmm. Both of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Gordon's report, which was not a flattering look at Rocketship. One of his main criticisms was that we have put together a model here. These Rocketship schools are operating in low-income areas throughout the country, and that it's a model that would not be acceptable in affluent suburban areas because it's done less expensively, that the teachers are not as experienced, don't stay as long as teachers do in other kinds of districts that are flourishing, and that the curriculum tends to be very narrow, that you're not doing a lot of science or history or arts, dance, music, et cetera, that it's really focused on those areas that will bring test scores up in math and in English. There are other concerns, but can you address those? Is this a model that would only work in low income? Why isn't Rocketship in suburban schools?
Well, I'll take a crack at this and then let Katie respond to it. First of all, we're talking about kindergarten through fifth grade, mm-hmm. which is the Rocketship model. That's the area that we focus on. And this model is built to help kids, many of whom English is a second language. It's built to address kids that have challenging backgrounds outside of their environment. But it is a model that builds on the strength of really high-quality leadership. Great principals with great experience. I've been in the classrooms there multiple times. We have great teachers, and the proof is in the pudding. We're moving these kids to grade levels in 1 year. And that's phenomenal. Katie talked about the enrichment these kids get. It is a welcoming environment. And I'll tell you, I would be happy to send my kid to a rocket ship school if I had the opportunity to do that. But the goal of rocket ship is to close the achievement gap in our lifetime. And to do that, we have to focus intensely on kids that aren't getting the educational outcomes and educational experiences in low-income neighborhoods. That's where the gap is, and that's where Rocket Ship has chosen to focus.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to respond to that? What about the teaching staff? Tim described it as excellent. I've heard reports that there's high turnover, and the teachers are inexperienced, Katie. What do you say to that criticism?
Well, so first of all, I would completely echo what Tim said. Our school leaders and our classroom teachers are the best I've seen anywhere, and I would stand behind their importance and their ability to transform our kids and our schools and our communities all day long. Our teachers, particularly in the Milwaukee school, actually tended to be very experienced. All of our teachers were local. The vast majority of them came to us with 3 or more years of teaching experience. And we expect an 80% teacher retention rate from last year to this year on teaching staff. We will retain all of our school leaders. So our teachers, the teachers that come to Rocket Ship for a couple of reasons. One, because as Tim said, we are focused purposefully and mission-driven to serve communities that don't typically have access to great schools. There are a lot of teachers who believe very strongly in that mission. The second is we respect and elevate the teaching profession in every way that we can. We want to support our teachers. We want to develop our teachers. For our teachers who want to go on to be school leaders, we want to give them every opportunity to do that. And we want to treat them like professionals. We are an organization that invests heavily in teacher compensation, in teacher training. We think we're a great place to work, and more you're seeing it as our teachers stay with us, as they sort of talk about how much they value their professional development and that leadership path. So, and again, in Milwaukee, our teachers actually are very experienced. In many urban districts, public schools, charter schools, private schools alike struggle with attracting and retaining great teachers. I think we're sort of finding an answer to that problem, mm-hmm, in Milwaukee.
Well, let's talk a little bit, and there's a huge debate in this country now, as everybody well knows, concerning public schools versus charter schools versus voucher schools. I want to know, Tim, what your thoughts are about the public school model and why it is that the public school model hasn't worked for many of these young people. Could the public school model work? Why do you find it necessary to go to a completely different kind of model?
Well, the differences between Rocket Ship and a public school are simply the authorizer. And I just don't fall into this trap of describing Rocket Ship as anything other than a public school. It takes public tax dollars. It accepts all the kids that apply to it. Is authorized by a public entity, in this case, the city of Milwaukee. So to me, in every sense, it's a public school. We just don't have to abide by some of the rules that exist in the Milwaukee public schools. And the idea here is to create a space for innovation to take root, not only in the Rocket Ship schools, but one of the things that Rocket Ship prides itself on is we are very open to having other school leaders come and visit. And our hope is that we will learn from the Milwaukee public schools about some of the great things that they're doing, and they will learn from Rocket Ship, and we will raise the performance of all the schools. So the goal here is not to carve up the city in private schools, charter schools, and public schools. The goal from my perspective and the perspective of MMAC is we need more people graduating at or above grade level from high school to go into a 2-year, 4-year institution or to come into jobs that our members are creating. So that's the ultimate mission and goal. And I think sometimes we get so siloed talking about who the authorizer is of the school, authorizer is for the school, and don't pay enough attention to the results and what's happening with the kids in those schools. And that should drive which schools expand and which schools don't.
And when you mention rules, what are the rules that you find burdensome?
Well, for example, and this has changed recently, but for years and years and years, the Milwaukee Public Schools, if you were a principal, I'll tell you, for example, a clear difference. A Rocket Ship principal has the ability to hire and fire their team. And we require a lot of work and a lot of dedication, and it's not for everybody. If you remove that ability from our principal to hire the team that they're going to work with, the rocket ship model doesn't work. Now, for years in the Milwaukee Public Schools, and there may be good reasons why seniority came into play, but the ability of a principal to not choose their own team that's going to work in their school, we view as detrimental to the performance that we're getting.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to respond to that, Katie?
No, I think Tim's right. I mean, at the end of the day, what makes our schools great are the people in them, and specifically the leader that is able to build a team and build a culture and build a school community. It's very important that that leader has the ability to create a community based on high expectations and sort of a shared goal of being solely focused on improving outcomes for our kids. And anything that limits that school leader's ability to do that is problematic for what we do. We are solely focused on ensuring that our kids get the best possible education every day, and that we are improving outcomes for kids who oftentimes really struggle academically. And anything that gets in the way of that is problematic for mm-hmm. us.
And before we go to phone calls, I'm sure we'll have many. The number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. Gordon spent a lot of time looking at a potential conflict of interest with this particular model and perhaps other models of people who are getting into education right now, and that is that there might be a conflict of interest between, he said that it was started by Wall Street people, hedge fund managers, that there is a software program that is used during the computer time in school that is chosen by Rocketship because they're profiting and they're the one company that has all their stuff there on the computer and they're making a whole lot of money. And his question was whether or not there isn't an inherent conflict of interest that would never happen in public schools, and if that's a good thing or not. Tim?
Katie, go ahead.
Katie, take that.
Yeah, I will answer that one. So just to be clear, there is nobody who we license software from works for us, has a seat on our board. Nobody who does have a seat on our board or who works for us has any financial stake in the companies that we do business with. We license all of our software vendors the same way that any public school does, the same way that a public school buys textbooks, the same way that we buy desks and school supplies and all kinds of things. So this conflict of interest issue, it comes up all the time. It's kind of, in my opinion, a red herring. There's just no basis in fact for it. Nobody affiliated with Rocketship has a financial interest in any of the vendors that we use, and none of the vendors that we use have any specific or direct relationship with Rocketship, either on the board or on the staff.
And just to add to that, as a board member of Rocketship's national organization, every board member, and I just signed mine, signs a conflict of interest statement, and those are all filed publicly the same way you would do for any organization that files a 990. That's all searchable. It's all public record. And it's just in my view, a red herring tossed out in this report.
So let me just ask a follow-up on this. He writes in his report, schools like Rocketship are supported by investment banks, hedge funds, and venture capital firms that in turn aim to profit from both the construction and especially the digital software assigned to students. The very curricular model that Rocketship employs is shaped not simply by what is good for kids, but also in part by what will generate profits for investors and fuel the company's ambitious growth plans. You would say that's not true.
First of all, we're not a company. We are a nonprofit organization. We don't have, as a nonprofit, profits. Everything that we, every dollar we gain, those resources are plowed back into the development of the schools and the development of the kids. And so it's really a misnomer placed on top of Rocketship. We're not a corporation. And from that perspective, if we want to run down that line of thinking, tax dollars, whether they're used for Rocketship or for Milwaukee Public Schools, all come from the earnings of hedge funds, manufacturers, small businesses that pay taxes.
Katie?
So to go back to the original question, Mr. Lafer's report made a couple of extrapolations about who supports us and who funds us. I will say this again. We receive philanthropic contributions from lots of different sources. Most of them are large foundations or consortia of foundations that invest specifically in education. There is no, I don't know how to say this any more clearly. There is nobody who has a financial interest in any of the vendors that Rocketship uses that has a direct hand in determining what our model looks like, what our instruction looks like, or what our curriculum looks like. We make every decision, curricular, instructional, decisions about the model, decisions about the facility locations and the types of facilities we build, with a single consideration in mind, and that's how do we do right by the kids that we serve and the communities that we open schools in. We are very, as Tim mentioned before, we are very purposeful about who we put on our board, who we do business with, and there just is no conflict here. Mr. Labor and Tim mentioned this. All schools, traditional public schools, receive significant contributions from lots of different places, both philanthropic and public revenue. And to say that because inherently you receive a contribution means that somebody's benefiting from that contribution, it just doesn't track. This is one of the many sort of extrapolations that exist in the report that we're talking about that just don't bear fruit when you
if you're accepting a contribution from a company that does a certain kind of software and then you exclusively use that kind of software in schools, you're telling me that's not true.
We've never accepted a contribution from a vendor, nor would we.
Okay.
No. And in fact, I mean, it's an interesting question. The Milwaukee Public Schools accepted a $20 million grant from GE. Nobody's accusing GE of anything untoward in trying to help MPS. And in the same way that we get contributions to help our kids, I just think this is a lens that's applied to Rocketship that doesn't bear any light.
Let's go to phone calls. Well, welcome them, and let me give you not only our phone call number, but other places to other ways to reach us. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. The Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter @KDunnShow. Our guest this hour, Tim Sheehy, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. And he is also on the he's chair of the Rocketship Schools and on the national board for Rocketship. Katie Venskis is also here, vice president of policy at Rocketship Education. And we're getting their response to a program we did about a month ago with Gordon Lafer. Gordon is a political economist and associate professor at University of Oregon's Labor Education and Research Center. And he did a very extensive report, a critical look at Rocketship. And so this is the other side, another show. To your phone calls momentarily, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to some phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. Bob in Bailey's Harbor is first. Hi, Bob.
Yes, how are you today?
All right, Bob, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm very much interested in charter schools, so I got on the internet and I read about Rocketship and their experience in San Jose, California, and I just think that maybe you could go over a few things quickly with them. One is, what percentage of special needs students do they accept? In San Jose was about half of the percentage of the public schools. 75% of the teachers were from Teach for America, and their only experience is 5 weeks. There's no art or music, and the students are focused solely on tested subjects, and you just kind of wonder about what kind of an education are they getting.
All right. Thanks, Bob, for the call. Katie, you want to respond?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So first of all, I want to correct several of those numbers. So about 6% of our student population in the Bay Area in San Jose has a special education need. That number is about 16% in Milwaukee. As for the Teach for America partnership, we do partner with Teach for America. About 30%, a little bit less than that, of our teaching staff in California are core members of TFA. It's not 75%. And our teachers receive both the TFA training that they're given through the Teach for America process, but then also 200-plus hours of professional development over the course of every year that they're with us. And all of our teachers, whether they're Teach for America or not, are fully credentialed the way that they need to be in the state that they teach in. Finally, as to offering our music, we've touched on this a couple of times. We do have dedicated instructors for instructors and dedicated instructional time for enrichment, like art, like physical education. All of that is part of our school day. So to be very clear, I want to make sure that the information, I'm happy to discuss all this information, but we want to make sure that it's accurate. We're very proud of the way that we serve our special education population. In fact, 10% of our teaching staff are licensed certified special education teachers. So these are really important questions. We just need to make sure we're dealing with accurate information.
Yeah, and in particular for Milwaukee, our one school has a special ed population that about equates to the entire special ed population in MPS, 16% to 20%. And as Katie said, wherever our teachers come from, what's important is what they do with the kids. And I want to emphasize again, we're growing two grade levels in 1 year with the teachers we have. And that's phenomenal work. It's hard work. And they deserve a lot of credit for doing the work.
Well, let me bring up another issue that that has come to light here. Our caller mentioned San Jose. California evidently did, California's Department of Education did a report because there was an application for a rocket ship school in the Alum Rock Union Elementary School in San Jose. It was denied. Rocket Ship was denied. And the California Department of Education said this, so I'd like your response to it. The number of Rocket Ship students scoring proficient or above in English language arts has plunged 30 percentage points over the past 5 years to 51%. Math proficiency rates have dropped more than 14 points to 77%. One of the reasons they decided not to allow Rocket Ship to start a charter there. What do you think of that?
Katie, go ahead, because you're closer to that one.
Yeah, so in the conversation about proficiency rates in California and specifically for our rocket ship schools, I want to just be clear, and I you're talking about, I assume, the staff report from the Alum Rock Unified School District.
Yes.
All of our rocket ship students outscore their traditional public school peers in the districts we serve, which includes the Alum Rock School District. We operate schools in the Alum Rock School District. All of our schools outperform the surrounding public school districts on what's called the Academic Performance Index, which is California's sort of school rating metric. Our schools score an average of an 822. The statewide goal for all schools is 800. So our schools are at 822. Our nearby districts are at, in some cases, 817 if you take into account all of their students. That number drops to 783 for surrounding school districts if you talk about low-income students and English language learners. And for Rocket Ship, those numbers stay persistently above that 800 mark. So we are outperforming all of our surrounding school districts and the California state average, in particular when it comes to low-income students and English language learners. In fact, Rocket Ship as a network is in the top 5% of all school districts in California that serve predominantly low-income kids. We are very proud of those results. I will say that in the last academic year, we saw a dip in some of our schools. We have made those schools focus areas or priorities for us, and we expect when our next round of results comes out in August that we will see a rebound in those schools that dipped before. But I want to be very clear, we are still outperforming the California state average and the districts, the traditional districts that we operate in California.
Thanks very much, Bob, for the call. Ron in Park Falls. Hi, Ron.
Hi, thank you for my call.
Sure.
I have three areas here. The United States, one of the big knocks on the United States education that's fallen behind the rest of the world in science, and so I'm curious why there's no science. You said that all your teachers are credentialed. Are they licensed by the state of Wisconsin? And if they are licensed, are they master license? Are they one-year emergency license? And then my third area is, I guess everything will be in the proof of the pudding when the DPI school report card comes out towards these schools, and I would like to comment on that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Katie?
Sure. So I think he's asking specifically about our Wisconsin teachers. Again, all of our teachers hold a valid Wisconsin teaching license, as is required by law. The degree or level of license they hold varies on experience. There's steps to the licensing process in Wisconsin. We do have some teachers on an introductory permit. In fact, we have two TFA core members in our Milwaukee school. The customary route for TFA teachers is the emergency permit, so those folks are on an emergency permit. But all of our teachers are fully licensed. And I think the other thing to note is there is both a state standard and a federal standard for a teacher being highly qualified. All of our teachers have taken and passed the exams, both exams, to become highly qualified. So every teacher in our Milwaukee school is both licensed and highly qualified by state and federal standards.
What about science, his comment on science?
I'm not actually sure I heard the whole comment on science. Could you repeat it for me?
Well, essentially it was that you're not doing a heavy science curriculum.
So we do have a dedicated science curriculum. It's taught as part of the math instructional block. It's a regular part of our curriculum. Our kids are assessed on science standards, just as every other kid in the state of Wisconsin is. I don't know what else to say other than that. It is part of our instructional time, and our kids are assessed on those standards.
And in terms of tests, will we see an assessment, DPI assessment,
yes,
sometime
soon? Yeah, we have to take those tests, and
right.
I'm giving you a little inside information by describing where the kids are. That's going to prove it out when you see the information through DPI. I'm a bit perplexed by all the focus and question on rocket ship when I just described at the start of the show that kids that are in schools where there are 80% free and reduced price lunch, 80% of the kids are minority, we've got citywide 7% at grade level. And the attention on rocket ship should be about what it's doing and how it's performing. We're open to all sorts of questions and criticisms, but I'm a bit baffled as to why, for example, I would spend my time or the business community would spend its time perpetuating a school that's not delivering good results. That's like shooting ourselves in the foot. If we don't have more kids with the skills, the aptitude, and the learning to participate in our economy and in our two-year or four-year institutions, we are dead in the water. We have no interest in growing and attracting schools in Milwaukee that aren't delivering results, especially to kids that aren't getting the results with other educational opportunities. So let's keep asking rocket ship questions, but I'm hopeful at some point that we start asking, what is rocket ship doing that's working so well, and why isn't it working in other schools, and why isn't it being picked up in other schools?
Well, we don't know if it's working well or not here yet. To be fair about it, we don't know yet, do we?
Absolutely we don't. We've had 1 year, but we've had years of experience in California. And if that transfers to Milwaukee and we continue the very hard work and the great performance, that's the direction I think we should be looking.
Let's go next to Greg in Milwaukee. Hi, Greg.
Hello. I have a question, first of all. When I went to high school, I took all the shops, and I took foods myself because I intended to be able to survive as an adult. And I'm just wondering if you teach any shops and foods. And I've been a lifetime student. I'm 60. I just got out of a semester at MATC in heating and air conditioning just for the heck of it. And I got a 3.714 average. And I'm just wondering if you teach anything like
shop and home ec and that kind of thing. Katie, do you?
So we offer schools that are kindergarten through fifth grade. There is no shop curriculum. There's no home economics curriculum because it just isn't terribly appropriate for the age level that we serve. I will say that there are lots of different enrichment and sort of external facing activities and opportunities that we make available to our kids. So while those two specific opportunities aren't available because our kids are just too young, one of the things, for example, you'll see us do is we took all of our kids and a number of our parents to the campus of Marquette University for a Saturday. We think it's as important for these kids to learn what college looks like and feels like and those kinds of activities as it is their regular school day activities. So shop and home ec, again, our kids are a little bit young, but there are lots of opportunities for our Rocketeers to experience different parts of the sort of world and public life.
Thanks, Greg, for the call. We'll take more phone calls in a moment, and here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk at WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're talking. This particular show is a response to a program that we did, a critical look at Rocketship. As you know, though, the Milwaukee area has been at the forefront of different kinds of programs to reach the students who are not achieving very well. And there are many of them in the city of Milwaukee. So what is it we can do to educate students and make sure that everybody performs and performs well so they can have fulfilling lives? And there's been a lot of controversy, obviously, about the best way to do that. Is it MPS schools? Is it charter schools? Is it voucher schools? What's the best kind of model for us to follow? And that's what we're talking about with an emphasis on Rocketship because of the very lengthy report that was critical of Rocketship. So that's what we're talking about this hour of the program, and welcoming your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. Katie Venskis is Vice President of Policy at Rocketship Education. Tim Sheehy, President of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce. He is Chair of Rocketship Schools and on the National Board. More phone calls in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email is talk at WPR.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show. I have a teaching background, and I've been interested in teaching all of my life. A couple of the things, when I think about what's a terrific education, and from having kids gone through school as well, it's, you know, a terrific teacher. You can't underestimate the importance of teaching. It's having a teacher who has enough time to spend with students in the classroom. And for me, it's really important to have a variety of cultures in a school and to have rich kids and poor kids and middle class kids and black and white and Latino and Asian and everything, because that's who we are now, that we're a little bit of everything and that we all benefit from great diversity. One of the things that troubles me is that the school seems to be for low income children, a primarily Hispanic school. We have such a segregated city and so many segregated schools that I can see why that would happen. But wouldn't a model that was really inclusive, that included all kinds of people, small class sizes and fabulous teachers, be a good one, Tim?
You know, absolutely. But schools can't do everything. And when you put a school to serve a neighborhood on 27th and Cleveland in the city of Milwaukee, you are largely going to draw from not an exclusively, but a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood, a neighborhood that is by its demographics low income. And what every parent in that neighborhood wants is a fantastic education and a great opportunity for their kids. And so that's what Rocketship is delivering to those kids in that neighborhood. Rocketship can't change the demographics of the city overnight, but it can certainly give those parents a great opportunity for their kids. And I would back up your statement 110%. And what is so attractive about Rocketship is its ability to recruit, retain, and develop really high-performing, caring teachers. And that is the biggest difference maker. Despite our blended learning program, which I think is unique and awesome, it is our ability to develop, recruit great school leaders and teachers that are really making a difference. And on that point, you've talked about this report. Richard Whitmire in June this month is releasing a book called On the Rocket Ship. I would encourage people to read it. He had an unfettered ability to follow Rocket Ship for more than a year, and he's written, I think, a very interesting book, which will give you some better depth and perspective than we're getting from Mr. Lafer's report.
I know that there is interest in opening more than one school in Milwaukee. I know that there is a desire for a location in a primarily African-American community on Center Street in Milwaukee. What's the status of that? Is it happening? Will it?
Well, the status is we're progressing in that direction. But I think as Rocket Ship leaders, we want to make sure so many people have told us before we're finished the first school year that it's a failing model, it doesn't work, and it's not working. And as you pointed out, we will just about have our results for the first year, and we want to take that second year again and make sure that we can continue those results. We want to prove to this community that this is a viable model, and then our goal is to take the next step to expand those schools. And you know, if and when we go to the north side again, you're going to have the same questions for me, because we were going to locate a school in a predominantly African-American neighborhood, but those parents, we think, want the same things that our parents are getting at Rocket Ship Southside Community Prep.
We go to Tim in Chicago. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I just wanted to first say I think what you guys are doing is paramount, rather than pointing in a circle and finding all the holes that are problems with the current education system. You're actually doing something with it, and I want to commend you on that. I'm just curious, from what you have already done, are you getting any feedback from schools who are looking to adopt any of your methodologies, especially I know math and science are becoming critical, and you have a focus on math, that are looking to adopt any of the practices you've done?
Katie?
So actually, in several of the districts we operate in California, we have really strong district partnerships. Tim already mentioned that we are very proud to sort of open our doors to anybody in Milwaukee who wants to come in and see what we're doing at Southside. Our leaders and our teachers have gone to other really high-performing schools of all types in Milwaukee to sort of pull best practices there. We're very interested in that kind of collaboration. I think specifically if you look at some of the work we're doing in a couple of school districts in the Bay, there is a very meaningful partnership between Rocket Ship and the existing district schools around technology and blended learning, but also around teacher professional development and about preparing older students, fourth and fifth grade students, for middle school and ensuring great middle school opportunities exist, both for Rocket Ship kids and for kids from the traditional schools in that area. So there's actually a number of places in which we have very deliberate, very purposeful partnerships with traditional public schools that are benefiting both the kids in our schools, but also the kids in those district schools as well.
A Facebook post from Brad. The organization lost 29% of its teachers after the 2012-13 school year. They have a 37-to-1 student-to-accredited teacher ratio. It is incorrect, Brad writes, to call these schools charter schools. Franchise schools or corporate schools is much more appropriate. Tim?
Yeah, I'll take the first part of it. And Katie, you can speak to the particular numbers, which seem to be regurgitated off the same report. And no matter how many times we answer the question, they resurface. We are, in fact, a Milwaukee public charter school chartered by the city of Milwaukee. That's who we are in Wisconsin. We have a similar footprint in California in terms of our charter authorizers. And Katie, I'll let you pick up the specifics on the teachers.
So I'll speak to both the teacher issue and then also the classroom or class size issue. Our classroom ratio during traditional classroom instruction time, so when kids are with a classroom teacher, is about 26 or 27 to 1. It's slightly smaller in our 4K class, where it's about 25 to 1, and then there's an assistant teacher in that room. The number that I think the post refers to is an old number that incorporates the time when our kids are in various settings throughout the school day, including the part of the day when they're in the learning lab in the technology center, where they're not supervised by a traditional classroom teacher but by a learning specialist. Those ratios are bigger because the intervention and the one-to-one support doesn't happen in that setting as much. It happens much more in the small groups, the tutoring setting, and the classroom instruction. But our class size, when a child is in a classroom receiving classroom instruction, is about 26 or 27 to 1. As for our teachers staying with us and our staff retention, this is an area we are really focused on. So we did have a dip one year where we saw less than 80% of our teachers come back. 80% is our network goal all the time. We are striving to bring back 80% of our teachers year to year. As I said already, we are going to hit that mark and exceed it in Milwaukee. We believe we are going to hit that mark and exceed it in California. This is, it's incredibly important to us to make sure that our teachers are happy and supported and are returning for our kids year to year, and we will continue to focus on that. When you look at our school leaders, the folks who really drive the model and drive the culture in our school buildings, that retention rate is well over 90%. We really have done a good job of making sure our school leaders have what they need, feel supported, and are invested in the work that we do and come back to us year after year.
Let's go to Barb in Oshkosh. Hi.
Hi. I was a public school teacher for 34 years, and I was dedicated and caring and good. But there were students I could not reach, none of us could reach, because just the way the system was set up, they didn't fit in. So I don't know anything about rocket schools, but I am in favor of any schools if they come up with a little different idea that can sift off some of these kids that don't fit in the public school picture and can succeed in teaching these kids, because I think that's the bottom line in America, is teaching the kids.
Well, these kids fit into any kind of setting, don't they? We're not talking about any kind of unusual kids, are we?
No, but the point is that all kids learn differently, and if this is another way to add to the mix of opportunities for kids to learn, it's great. And I don't want to finish the show without highlighting the other way that Rocket Ship, I think, is really unique, and that's its ability to engage parents. We really work to go out and meet the parents, engage them in the school, get them involved in activities, and I think that enriches the opportunities for the kids and the parents and builds a really strong school community.
Yeah, it's very important. Very hard to do, isn't it?
It is.
People have very busy lives. Christopher in Madison, hi.
Hello. I wonder who owns Rocket Ship. And where the profits from the schooling of Rocket Ship goes, and how much do each of you make per year?
Sure. So I'll take this as a board member of Rocket Ship National. And I've said this a number of times, and I guess I'll say it again. Rocket Ship is not a corporation. It is a non-profit entity, which means we don't generate profits. We may generate excess income, which gets plowed back into the teacher salaries, the school buildings and the facilities and the kids ultimately, but there is no profit. And as a board member, I make no money. I'm not paid at all. I pay my own airfare. I pay my own travel costs. I give of my time. It's a volunteer effort. And I don't make a dime off of Rocket Ship.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. How do you keep building more schools then? I mean, if you'd want to build 8 in Milwaukee, where will the money come from to build all these schools?
Sure. The money comes from the per pupil reimbursement that we get from the charter arrangement. So we're paid an amount of, I think it's about $7,800 a kid to educate our students. And then we go out and raise philanthropic dollars to help us with our facility needs. And that's how we build the schools and educate the kids and do it on the budget. That includes contributed dollars from philanthropic organizations and individuals and the per pupil reimbursement that we get from the chartering authority.
Mm-hmm. And for both of you, we have a minute left, that's all. Of all the models that are out there, and there are tons of them, why is this one that you're wholeheartedly behind? Katie?
I think the easiest answer is you have to look at the communities and the families that we serve and the results we get for those kids. We are going to communities very specifically where access to a great school is limited, and we are doing whatever it takes, finding the best people, building the best curriculum, making sure that kids have what they need so that regardless of where they come to us when they walk through our doors at the beginning of the school year, they leave our schools at or above grade level and ready to continue on through middle school, high school, and college.
Tim.
Yeah, Rocket Ship certainly isn't the only model that's working. There are wonderful public schools in the Milwaukee public school system, dedicated school leaders. We have some great private schools, and I think our effort here is we want Milwaukee families to have access to the best schools possible, and Rocket Ship adds richly to that base of schools in Milwaukee, and that's why we want them here.
Thank you both very much for being with us. Tim Sheehy, president of the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, Katie Vinskas, vice president of policy at Rocket Ship Education, and we thank both of them for being with us this hour. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the hour, and to Marika Suval for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. We have news coming up from NPR and another hour, which will be interesting about energy primarily.